what is a love fest? I was like, right before we jumped on, I'm like, what is this?
Well, you'll
because
find out.
I like the name, but it's very open ended. You know,
a few more like he's like, are we?
Yeah.
I think I know where she just took that. Okay.
Let's just say this. In the middle of a love fest, you're going to be completely naked.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. That's okay. It gets progressively more risque as it goes on. Correct. Okay. I just wanted to know what I'm signing up for.
Dear Shandy. Welcome back to Dear Shandy, listeners. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
How are you today?
I'm great. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm already so at ease. Like sometimes going to a love fest, especially with such illustrious guests, sometimes I get a little nervous. And they are so cool and chill. When we first hopped on Zoom, they were laughing together.
Amazing.
Before they even knew we were there.
And they were on Zoom.
Yeah, who's laughing on Zoom? That's a good point. Okay, so before we officially have them join us, I will talk for a while about who they are. Mm-hmm. I think most people know who they are. I'll go in chronological order because the female guest here dates back almost as far back as me, but not quite. We're the elder Bachelor alums. But you know her as the nurse with a heart of gold from Nick Viall's season, Bachelor season 21. She was also on Paradise season 4 and 8. Andy took the notes for this love fest and he made a point of saying that you have a cat named Ray.
I do.
Andy really loves cats. So if anyone has a cat,
I saw
they get
your
mentioned.
Cat named Ray. And I
so pretty.
May have looked at more pictures of your cat than I should.
She is the host of the wonderful WOMED podcast, where they discuss the latest issues facing the medical community, as well as tips on self-care, health trends, and how it affects women specifically. I love your podcast so much because it's educational, fun. It's like fun educational.
Fun educational.
Yeah, it's like you're hearing girls, like girlfriends chat. They feel like your girlfriends, but it's also educational. Yeah. And especially if you're not in the medical community, which I'm not, it's really informative. Anyway, I'd love it. And she can be found on Instagram at dmaltby, M-A-L-T-B-Y, and at nursed aesthetics. Danielle Maltby, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. That was quite an intro. Appreciate it.
And to her right, I don't think he's a stranger to anyone, but you know him from season 17, Katie Thurston's season of The Bachelorette. This was the first season we ever recapped together.
Yes.
Michael A. has gotten a lot of airtime over here on Dear Shandy.
You really have. You should check it out.
I've followed your guys' podcast and appreciated all the kind words along Katie Thurston's season. It was much appreciated.
You were easy to like.
Oh, my God. Thank you. Right? Who wouldn't like Michael A.?
Yeah. You don't have to be a jerk.
He's also from Paradise season 8. He's an entrepreneur. If you're okay with talking about this, Andy dug up that you just got a patent approved.
Yeah. So let's see. In 2019, I submitted a patent for a topical therapeutic that offsets a side effect of chemotherapy. And we discovered this cream basically when Laura was going through chemo. A lot of the side effects of chemotherapy, I mean, there's so many, but one in particular is called hand-foot syndrome. And it burns off a lot of your skin on your hands and feet. And prior to this, there was no remedy for it. And this was during a time when James was 7 months old. You know, Laura couldn't hold James. Her iPhone wouldn't even recognize her fingerprint. So it was really, really painful. And when we were going to the doctors to complain about a side effect like this, they really had no alternative. So this whole thing was really born out of necessity, not really a business. And then we started sending it out to people and it started working. And you know, once Laura passed, I took some time off, maybe about 4 months or so from the project, and then, you know, got my energy back up and, wrote a patent and was able to be awarded it a couple months ago. And what we're looking at now is undergoing some clinical trials at a university at the end of May. And hopefully this is something that, you know, makes people who are going through cancer, their lives just a little bit easier and allows them to finish out the course of their therapy.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I know how hard it is to get a patent because I also
literally on not to make this about us.
I,
know, like
I didn't mean to make this about me.
No, I'm going to have questions about yeah. this.
We just came home on Saturday to Andy's first patent, like the actual certificate yeah. in the mail.
It's
and
total coincidence.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. And it's amazing.
And it's not easy to get. I mean, this took years.
It took years.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to submit all prior literature and art to support it and, you know, yeah. be ahead of it. And it is a long, grueling process. And I think, I mean, probably you agree, Andy, is, you know, along the way, there's multiple opportunities where you want to maybe give up or say, like,
oh,
I've hit a roadblock. And, yeah. it takes a little bit of grit to get through that whole process.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm very impressed. Your patent, I'm not going to say what mine is, but yours will be more helpful to the world, probably than mine.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have some questions about yours, so let's talk offline.
Okay, fine.
Okay, he can be found on Instagram at Michael_Alio L4. What's with the L?
Yeah, that's not a great handle.
No, it's not. I actually didn't even have a Instagram till 2019, so this whole social media thing is a little bit new and fresh to me. The L4 component of it is I do have a nonprofit that we sell t-shirts and stuff. All the proceeds go to support, again, the cancer community, free health services for them. We donate to 501c3s all over the country. So that's the L4.
Oh, I feel terrible.
Yeah, y'all totally called them out.
Yeah, yeah. Shame. Shame on you. Shame on your houses.
Oh, man.
No, it was James. James was saying, curse you.
Yeah, curse you. I got both your houses.
Okay, well, L4, I'm never forgetting that.
Not a great handle, though. It's not a great handle.
Right. Good. It means well, but the handle. Yes.
Michael Alio, thank you so much for joining us, God. Both of you. You're joining us from Akron, right?
Yeah.
Where Danielle, you now live in Cleveland.
I now live in Cleveland, yes. Yeah, very but it's recently. Not too far. Yeah, very recently, like the 6th.
Wow.
Her place is only about 25 minutes away normally, but today it was for some reason like an hour.
Yeah, you know, thundersleet.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to explain it.
Amazing.
Okay. Well, Michael, you were wondering what exactly a love fest was. Well, what had you signed up for? What's going to happen now?
Yeah.
Andy
yes.
informed you you would get naked, but on the way to getting naked, we have to ask you.
Naked souls?
Yeah, you got to work for it.
Okay. So normally our first question's a real easy one, but it's a little more complicated with you because how you met, I think most people have an idea of how you met. And I think also most people have an idea of the second question I have, which is how aware of each other were you before meeting? Correct? You sort of had an online relationship, right? Where you're kind of just friendly, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there no flirtatious vibes?
Oh, I put him out there. He shut him down.
He's shaking his head.
Michael's cool as ice. We didn't even know that you liked her for like the first hour of your relationship. And that's TV.
No.
It's a TV hour, not real life hour.
Right. A TV hour is basically like a week. Yeah.
It's true.
But yeah, but go ahead. You probably could tell that.
Well, I actually had a friend who was going through breast cancer treatment as well. And that kind of circles back to the patent that you now got. I was talking to Michael about trying to figure out how, like, different ways that I could support her. And you actually sent some of the cream to my friend Erica to try, and it helped her out a lot. So, but we had just kind of chatted a little bit earlier than that, too. You had posted, I think it was like an anniversary post.
Yeah.
And I had been like wanting to reach out, but not quite sure how. I just basically was like, hey, if you need like another friend in this community that has been through something similar, that gets it when you have an influx of people messaging you, telling you all their deepest, darkest traumas and things that have happened to them. If you need someone who's been there, like, we can be friends.
Yeah. And it was really helpful that Danielle reached out because, I mean, obviously the being on the show, it's its own experience. But finding somebody that has real life experience that I can relate to, you know, losing Nick, you know, when they were going to get married and trying to create that, you know, life afterwards, while all of this other stuff is happening simultaneously, it's really difficult. I think a lot of people can relate to it, but few can understand, if that makes sense. Mm, and sure. Danielle was kind of one of those people. We never met in person prior to Paradise, but you know, it is a small world, the Bachelor world. And so, yeah, of course.
Everybody talks.
Yeah. Yeah. Not to blow up people's spot. Not, but, yeah,
but
it's true. Michael, I like how you put that. A lot of people might, you know, think they can understand, but they don't actually.
Can't put yourself in.
Yeah.
Shoes.
He didn't. You worded it more elegantly than that. But I think that's so true. He. Oh, my God. We talk about it.
We were listening to you on the WOMED podcast.
On the
WOMED.
And I'm so careful. Highly recommend. It's a two-parter, two separate episodes. Highly recommend the one where you interrogate Michael.
And I'm not going to say it has anything to do with your age, but I do notice that you take time to think about what you say. And you actually care for your words, which is something I appreciate. So well done. Good talking.
Thank you.
I was saying earlier that his words carry weight.
They do.
Both of them.
Yeah. You control the room. Like when you're speaking, people are like, oh.
I also don't know how to take compliments. I don't think either of us
don't
are
say
that good.
Just smile.
At it right now.
Just smile.
No, okay. I also him and can't I'm like, it. You're so hot. And he's like, okay. Or he goes completely sarcastic and like something about like dad bods and something really cringy. I don't know.
Yep. That's my default.
We're the same way. We don't know how do people do that. How do you take a compliment? How is it done?
I've heard that if you don't take a compliment well, it's almost disrespectful and you're almost dismissing the other person's feelings or projections onto you.
Oh, interesting. But
at the same time, like in the moment, I don't care about that. I just want to hide and I have a hard time with it. So if I do get a compliment and I'm not taking it well, I don't mean to dismiss. It's just, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You're hot. Stop You're it. Hot, babe. Stop yeah. it. You're hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at
because I think this will land with the two of you. We talk about this.
Yeah.
How do you feel if someone gives you a compliment and you say thank you, and then they say, you're welcome.
Oh,
I want to die inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've had full conversations about the appropriateness of you're welcome and when it's not appropriate.
Yeah. Like, oh, your hair looks lovely today.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
It feels very transactional.
But it almost feels like there needs to be an end to that conversation, right? Like
after the thank you, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a hard stop. And it's an awkward transition.
Like, do you then compliment them on something?
But then it seems superficial.
It
seems like you're just humoring them.
I feel like
I would say naturally, I'm following that up with a compliment on the same plane, and it probably doesn't
but then
land.
Forced.
But
is it intentional?
Well, I mean, I would not make a. I mean, it is forced, yes.
Yeah.
But you would find a way for it to be authentic, knowing you.
Yes.
Yeah, I relate to all of this. Okay, so.
It's a healthy dose of shame.
I sense the exact right amount of shame from both of them.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, congratulations. We talk about shame a lot
Shame
here.
Is very important. We've both discussed how without shame, the world would descend into chaos. It would
explain this. Yes. This is interesting.
Well, shame is a very important, I think, evolutionary tool. Because it forces you to stop yourself when you're about to do something that would probably be bad for you and for the people around you. Mm. Maybe
it's good for you, but it's bad for other people.
Yeah.
Like it might be just out of self-interest, but you stop yourself because that's too selfish a way to think. You feel shame.
I think that's interesting. You know, I always have like this idea in my head of like, I'm a movie buff and I always have this thought of like if I was watching myself on the big screen, like in the third person, would
kind of
my
like watching yourself back on Paradise?
No, not outside of the Bachelor world. I will not watch that back. But it's like, do my actions align or do my thoughts align with my actions constantly? Like when if I'm removing myself from my thoughts and all of that, and I'm just watching it, is it all consistent with itself? And am I a character that I would end up rooting for and liking if I wasn't so personally attached to myself, you know?
Yeah.
No, I really love that. That's now I'm going to add that to one of the many things that keeps me awake at night. Okay. So I love, we're having such a nice time with you that we're not really making a dent in our questions. So stop being so fun.
Focus on the show.
Okay. So was there anything, was there anything watching yourself back on Paradise where you're like, oh, it was actually like this, or anything you think that viewers missed out on in your love story?
How swollen my legs were.
Yeah. I would go into detail about that.
No.
You're such she had some serious peripheral edema.
Everyone did. Well, it was like half the cast. Half the cast had like severe edema in their lower extremities because they've got you up all night long.
Leg swelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had us on like Lasix, which made me super dizzy and like I was passed out.
Wait, isn't that for horses?
No.
Oh, sorry.
I think of another Lasix. Like congestive heart failure and stuff like that, or like.
But it's a horse blood thinner. Anyway, I'm thinking of something else.
They're giving us horse tranquilizers down there.
So like it really make us work. No. I don't know. What do you think? We're so guarded that,
you know, I think that's a big point. I think there was a little bit of confusion on how the editing happened for us. I think, you know, when Danielle came down, it was clear that her and I had spoken, and that was one thing we were never going to hide, the fact that we have exchanged DMs. I mean, again, we had never met in person. We were friends. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people on the show that have spoken, but that is such a simplistic way of looking at whether or not you're compatible with one another. There's so much more work that has to happen. And especially for, you know, my life prior to Danielle coming into it, the hardest work for us is, you know, how do we get these two lives together? How do I introduce her to my son? I mean, I've got in-laws. I've got all of these things, very awkward conversations and things that take up a lot of time that, you know, once our walls finally came down and we started welcoming each other into our lives, it was so much more I don't know. There's so much more substance there and so many more things we had to tackle, which I feel like was not necessarily captured on the show.
I think our playfulness, too, because I feel like a lot of people thought we just talked about grief and our exes the whole time. And meanwhile, we're like joking and sarcastic and playful and fun, normal human beings.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's the stuff they edit out. We were talking about them on the show. We were just like, they always show the things that they think are important, but they don't show the things that actually are important to the fans, which are just watching two people act silly together.
It is tough because in their case, it actually was important.
I know. That was the problem. Like, you had a really important thing.
I can see why they cut what they cut, but it's still a shame because you don't really get the full picture. But Danielle, your answer was, you know, sometimes when you ask a question, you know what it's like. You host a podcast, like you have an idea of what people will say. I thought, you were going to say your goofiness, because even in our time with you so far and anything you see of you two online, it's really electric with just like weirdness in a very good way.
Yeah. Thank you.
Cozy, 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 cozy on my legs. Cozy, 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 cozy in my sheets.
Yeah, you are cozy all the time. You're cozy from all directions with your Cozy Earth pants and our Cozy Earth sheets. You know, I actually think a second pair of cozies are probably coming in the pipeline. And I say that because recently your other lounge pants, which will not go named, they had holes in them. They really aged far worse than your cozy. I mean, your Cozy Earth pants still look brand new. We finally had to recycle them, and you need now another pair of lounge pants.
And it's a testament to how much I love these, because I'm just getting these in another color.
Yeah. Really branching out there. You know that another pair of lounge pants are not going to make you as happy as those ones.
That's what my pants are telling me. They whisper it to me. They're like, you can find some other pant, but you won't be as happy as you are with me.
And come on, the sheets. We've talked about the sheets. It's like sleeping in a cloud.
Because they're made from viscose from bamboo, which somehow is unbelievably soft.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
And sustainable.
Yes. And cooling. This is a big issue for you.
I don't even remember what it's like to wake up clammy. I don't.
And I mean, when the first several years we were together.
It was bad.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, it was like a pool. It's gross.
And Cozy Earth Sheets have been on Oprah's favorite things list for 5 years now. Oprah, who has access to the world's most fancy sheets and expensive and whatever sheets, she likes Cozy Earth the best. I really do think it's you get that luxe feeling and look and everything for a very reasonable price point. And the fact that she even feels that way, I mean, it only makes me feel validated.
I feel honored that even after 5 years of Oprah, they're like, no, we need Dear Shandy to talk about this too.
Oh, it's true. So right now, our listeners, the Shandys, can save a whopping 35% on Cozy Earth.
But hurry, this New Year's offer ends soon.
Go to CozyEarth.com/Shandy and be sure to enter promo code Shandy at checkout to save 35%.
CozyEarth.com/Shandy.
Okay, so what are some traits you've learned about each other since embarking on real life together? So you part ways from the show, you're long distance, you start getting, I think, a lot of love, but also, you know, a good amount of, I think, criticism from the very intense world of Bachelor Nation. I mean, people really get up in arms. Yeah. What did you learn about each other through that?
This guy always has my back. Like, even if, like, there's, like, one comment that, like, I'm like, I'm gonna engage with this one today. And like, he sees it. He's like right up there behind it. Like, I got you. It's too many things to try and name. Like, our whole relationship really started once we finally got off the beach.
Yeah.
Like, that was just like a testing point of, okay, do we like spending time around each other? Are we comfortable with each other? Are we attracted to each other? I mean, I wanted to jump his freaking bones as soon as we got off the beach, but like figuring out real.
Wait, did you not go to the boom boom room?
Yeah, there was no.
No, boom boom. He wouldn't. I tried.
You're such a prude, Michael.
I'd walk up to him and be like, wrong,
you know,
you want to hear some really hot words? Air conditioning.
Yeah. She was trying to lure me in there with air conditioning, like there was free, like there was free candy in there, some sort of van. I was like, I've seen this before. All I could think about in my head was, don't create an issue for James down the road where he has to look back on something.
Right, right, right. Good.
Yeah.
It was
difficult. I mean, it was hot down there. There were drinks being poured. It was late nights, so hot. Yeah. She had swollen legs, which are oddly my fetish.
Your biggest turn on. I heard about
it. It's my biggest turn on. I was like, how did you know?
It was just because anytime I could lay down or sit down, I would lay down and my legs would be like, way up.
Yeah.
It's like, don't let that blood drain down.
Yeah.
Right. Let it pool. Bath. Let it pool.
Okay, Michael, how about you? You go through this together. What do you learn about her throughout this, the aftermath?
You know, just being on two different seasons, I feel like it was two different experiences for me, especially with audience reaction. You know, when I came off of Katie's season, it was pretty much like the, you know, beloved single widowed father that, you know, people felt sympathy for. And you know, that was, I was happy to be able to tell that story and all of that. And then we received, you know, a little bit of blowback from what we experienced on Paradise. But I do have to say, my experience, even with the blowback on Paradise, was so much better because I knew how it ended. Hmm. You know, I knew that I had her and I had her to go through this whole thing with. So it's almost this thing where, is it like preferred to be loved by strangers or to find a person to love, you know? And with her, it was just so much easier after Paradise, even though, you know, Twitter turned on me.
You can't have both.
No, you cannot have both. And I would much rather prefer, you know, to have her and go through it with her than
that's a good choice.
Admiration from strangers.
Let's rank the meanest ones. Is Twitter the meanest? No, Reddit is the meanest. Reddit's the meanest. Reddit's the scariest. Yeah.
I don't even engage in Reddit. I can't.
Reddit.
I do. Yeah, it's like thrill seeking.
A long time ago, stay off Reddit, and I am following suit.
Yeah. I'll go on at Reddit like as a thrill seek. It's like bungee jumping. I'm just like, dear Shandy.
Yeah. I mean, why? You know, I feel I feel like if, you know, Instagram's probably what? No, TikTok's probably the kindest.
Oh, really?
That's funny.
Yeah, I think TikTok and then Instagram. We're going from kindest to worst. Yeah, then Twitter. I think if you lose Twitter, that's like your swing state, you know? Like you lose Twitter and the whole election's, you know, plummeting.
It's like it's Ohio. Yeah. It's like Ohio. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is. You lose that, you lose the country.
Yeah. I guess it goes by how anonymous they feel. Like Twitter, they don't feel like they're tweeting at you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would agree with that. Twitter ranks pretty
proper
mean.
Ranking. Yeah, yeah, I agree.
So what were, I'm trying hard to avoid questions that were asked on the WOMED because I want it to, them to fit together.
You really
like
took all the good questions. Not very fair.
Yeah. So if anyone feels like we're missing anything, do check out their podcast. But you talked about your first impressions in that episode, the first of the two episodes, but I want to know how those have changed, if at all. So from when you meet, you can touch on that and also how those have changed.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to say this without like blushing and being like super giddy, which like you'll make fun of me for. I keep falling. Like I fucking love you. Like every time I see him, every time I spend any time with him, I'm just like, holy shit, like you're my guy. Like I love you so much.
I love you too.
Aww.
And it just, he goes out of his way constantly to, especially with the move, to like make me feel, you know, safe and secure. And it's really been a joy. I mean, it hasn't been without, you know, tough conversations, which really have only brought us closer. Yeah. And
they usually do.
I know.
Yeah.
You're just, he's my safe place.
Wow. Mm. I think this is where we get naked.
All right.
So this is a love fest. Now I know. All things have been answered.
It's your quip.
Yeah. Danielle, like, She surprised me a lot. We were very guarded. I mean, rightfully so.
I didn't think I deserved your love. Like you were like, I don't know if I can love anybody.
Well, I don't know if you're just in your head a lot because you understand the magnitude of what you're trying to accomplish, and you know that there are people involved, and she is just such a incredibly caring. I mean, gorgeous inside and out, ambitious. I love what you stand for socially. I mean, educated. You're just the people that she surrounds herself with. They're remarkable. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are people that the second you meet them, it like feels like home. Like you feel like you've met them for a long time, and you can tell that's a lot of work pouring into relationships. And, you know, it's not necessarily you have tons of friends, but it's the quality of friends you have that it just shows me that you show up on a regular basis for people that you love. And that's a big part of it.
Oh my God. Good answer. Oh my God. Living up so far, yeah, you two, really. I've got to say. That really does say so much about a person.
It does. And you know, it's so refreshing. I have found, it was not many times, but definitely this time, is when you find someone you really love and you want to spend your life with, and then you find out that you really love their friends. It's just like, of course, but also thank you. You know?
And then
yes.
On the other side of that, when you find out you really don't, like,
yeah,
that
then you're just,
in and
then
of
you
itself.
Start questioning. You're like, wait a minute. If these are all the friends, then maybe I've made a misjudgment.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And it's a package deal, right? Mm-hmm. Like we've all had friends that have dated somebody else and the whole group's like, oh God, you see who he's dating? Like, we don't want to go on the double date with them anymore. Like, you know.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh, we've all done that.
I have totally done that.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has. It's like, oh my God, we've lost Peter. He's gone. Like, he's never coming back. But with her friends, they've just welcomed me in, and my friends have done the same to her, and they're so compatible that it's a great deal.
We were talking about that. We're like, okay, who is like, who's the Chelsea of your friends in like my friend group? And who's like the JP in my friend group to like your friend group?
Right.
Like,
they're all doppelgangers.
They really are. It's funny. I would like, we really want to get them all together.
I know.
Because they're just bizarre. Really world. Great people.
Well,
you don't only, not that you guys are married, but let's just use marry as a term, but you don't only marry the person, you marry the family. They always say that you marry the family, but you also, more importantly, marry the friends.
Yes.
You're not spending as much time with the family as you are with the friends, generally speaking. Mm.
Mm. Unless you're correct. Asking for them to ditch their friends, which suggests something is wrong.
That's true.
Yeah. Great answers. Okay. So one more lovey-dovey question, and then we're going to ask some tougher ones. Ooh. How do you two compliment each other?
I think it's just in the way that we show up for each other.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way that we compliment each other.
Don't take
And how
answer.
Is that? How is that?
So we had this, there was this concert, right? That this artist was coming to town. Michael loves this artist. And I had therapy that night. I was like, babe, like I just moved. Like you can go, like, please, like go to this concert. Like I know you want to go, like go without me. Like I know you need to do this. I also need to take, you know, this space and check in with my therapist and like make sure my mental health is good and like how I show up for people. And I was like, if we finish, you know, on time or whatever, like I could probably come meet you. And you were just like, I could tell you were bummed that I wouldn't be there, but you were also like, no, like go and like do what you need to do, take care of you. And then I showed up anyways after therapy, had a great session, and you were so happy.
I'm happy to see you.
So sweet.
So let me see. I mean, in terms of how we compliment each other,
we push each other though too. Like,
yeah, I think there's the first thing is creating like the safe place, right, where you can be open and honest and do that without feeling like you're going to be judged, or that whatever you confess or say isn't going to be used later as, you know, collateral or something like that.
That's so true.
I think for us, there's this there's a lot of support. We both kind of champion each other's efforts, our passions, whatever we're trying to do. She's incredibly gifted as a nurse, amazing podcaster, you know, all of her passions. It's always trying to feed it, you know, nurture it, try to move it to the next level. And she does the same thing with me. I think both of us, we kind of have that Midwestern humility. Like we
don't want to get excited for our own things. So like the patent and like the clinical trials that are starting, you're just like, no, I'm not like, I can't. I was like, babe, this is big. Like you've done a really big thing. Like I'm going to speak all this out into the universe that this is coming and that this is happening, because A, what a legacy, but you've worked so hard on this, and what like a beautiful thing to come from something so tragic. And like,
yeah,
I feel like I'm secretly just like, he's going to be awesome. This is going to be so great. I'm so proud of him. Like, and you're just like, nope, not until I see the data. Just like, no, it's going to be awesome.
I know. I think we're both each other's hype person. And I mean,
quick question on that. Sorry to interrupt, but let's say you do see the data and it suggests that you should really celebrate yourself. Are you able to do that then?
No. No. It'll always be like something. I think I've been incredibly blessed in my life to have been around very amazing people. And I think when you're around people that inspire you, you know, it's not a comparison, but you know what really greatness can look like when you see it in other people and their actions. And I think for me, I just don't think I'd ever get there. And that's like, okay, that's what helps me like keep going. But I'm sure there's some sort of psychological issue with all of this.
I relate to that so
imposter
hard.
Syndrome.
Yeah. I suffer from that.
It's not like an inferiority, but it's like when you look up to something and you've seen some people do amazing things, you always look at that and be like, I haven't even come close.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, I relate to that.
Yeah.
Sorry, well, and I
especially probably in opera and all of that. I'm sure you see that regularly.
I feel like I'm able to feel joy on like the like I get the news and I'm like, that's cool. And then
it goes away.
Yeah, it's so frustrating. And then, you know, we'll get like 100 unbelievably kind comments and like one negative one. And that will take up so much more airtime in my head over the course of a 24-hour period than me finding out I'm on the cover of Opera Canada or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it's there's something wrong with me, but I feel like I'm in good company.
Yes.
Oh, no, you are.
Yes.
We should all imposter syndrome.
We should double date sometime, guys.
Yeah. But sorry, Michael, I derailed your answer.
No, it was I'm a loser.
And she's not. That's the compliment, right?
And she's not. Yes.
Okay.
If you're a loser, surround yourself with winners. That's all I'm saying. It's a survival tip.
You know, their answer, I forget there was another Love Fest, but it kind of reminds me of that, is the idea of passing the baton. It's like you're not going to be up and like motivated and happy and appreciative and, you know, able to be your best self all the time. And so the ability of your partner to not only recognize that, but be like, oh, I'll take the baton for now.
Yeah, I think it's about a seesaw. It's like picking the other partner up when they're down.
Yeah.
And vice versa. It's just, it's sometimes complimenting each other is more of a theme than specific.
Yeah.
It's just like everything. Like I'm so defeatist sometimes. Like I'm immediately like, oh, this is fucked. We're done. It's over.
I hate it when he does
that. Yeah, I'm like fatalistic always. Yeah. Everything. Even with like deciding what color like curtains to buy.
Yeah. It's suddenly the end of the world. Worst case scenario. It's always the worst case scenario where his mind goes. And he vocalizes it. And I'm like, stop it. You're going to make that your reality.
Yeah. And she really pulls me back and she's taught me not to do that as much. I wait like 10 minutes now to be fatalistic. So it's I'm getting there.
Right. Yeah.
It's a delay.
Strong work.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, I think for me, I mean, I could speak for myself at least here, is that just through life experience, I've realized there are very few things that actually matter. Like very few.
Yeah.
I mean, the majority of things that take up our time and our space, our energy, they either fix themselves or they go away. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like a handful of things. It's like your health, your relationships, like your outlook, like things like that, that you have to protect. Everything else, it's not a big deal.
That's true. Mm. If you could cliff note someone's life. I went between life and live and it became something weird. But it would be just like three or four things in your whole life.
Yeah.
Like three or four scenes. And you'd be like, yeah, that's true. Those were the only things that mattered. The rest
everything
was just
else is
like
everything
between.
Else is really just noise. I mean, it's just a lot of little micro decisions that really don't.
I like that micro decision.
Yeah, they don't accumulate to much.
Well, it's like when we were cleaning out, we've done a huge clean out of the apartment, like just thrown out everything.
Not thrown out, so donated. Refreshing.
Donated, yeah. True. Donated, yeah. Recycled, and thrown out occasionally.
I'm really anal about that stuff. Yeah, I'm like, how do I recycle this old cord?
Yeah. I've got a whole bag. Right.
You got to drive 3 hours away in order to find
it. Yeah. But you're going to find it.
No, but my point is that you look at all these things you've accumulated in your life, and there was a point in time where that thing that you're now like, does this go in the recycle or throw away or give away
the
pile.
Motorola razor.
Damn. Yeah, exactly.
I remember thinking the Motorola razor was really going to change my life.
Motorola razor. Oh, the phone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You still have one of those?
Andy has this
weird.
I have
a collection of old.
Andy struggles a little bit with hoarding. It's a slight.
Well, it's like light hoarding. Very light. Small.
I do think that would be great on a shelf to see like the evolution of a phone. It's almost maybe like a Smithsonian.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're giving him ideas.
I mean, I could probably do that.
I kind of like that. You just need to have like the cases underneath and maybe a little plaque.
I go
where you were in your life.
It would be a great film. Star Trek to Sidekick.
Yeah.
The BlackBerry.
Oh, the Sidekicks.
I was Sidekick guy for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. BlackBerry.
I love talking to people who.
Yeah, they know.
Are not
so some people look at me like, Sidekick?
Yeah, right. Hey.
Yeah.
Okay, wait.
Anyway, my point is no more tangents. My point is that there was a day in your life where a lot of that day was spent struggling over the decision of how to get, acquire, or decide upon that thing. And now you're just like, that was absolutely meaningless. Mm.
A lot of lessons can be learned in that purging process, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It feels good. You feel lighter.
It feels so good. Lighter, literally.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Okay, so what was an early hurdle in your relationship and how did you overcome it?
I like how this is set up because it's the hard questions naturally go to her first.
Well, you can take this one first.
No, let's keep the format.
No, I
want to
know what you think.
Stay true to the format.
Yeah, stay true to the format.
Oh.
I'm going to give you some time to think while I ask a question.
Yeah.
You can't ask a question.
I'm going to ask a question within a question. You can think. And I'm going to ask another question because I know our Shandys are going to want to know. Uh-huh. When on the show, I personally, to be honest, I was struggling because you're so cool, Michael. You don't give off. I don't know what's going on with you on that show. Nothing. No idea. So I didn't know when the point came where you were like, okay, we were having this like, you know, chat offline or online, whatever, off reel, not IRL, whatever you want to call it. And that was good. But, you know, now I'm in it. Now I want to be with this person. Like, what was that later in the show? Like, I didn't get the feeling, like, I didn't feel a spark.
Right.
When did that happen?
That was off camera.
Danielle said this earlier. Our relationship really didn't start going until we got off the show. I think for a lot of people, it's the complete opposite. It's like there's a relationship on the show, and then when real life hits, it's like, oh, shit. Oh,
yeah.
Who the hell are you? You're a monster. but for us, at least, well, I should just say for me, we were kind of guarded this whole time. It was really an awkward situation for us. There was fear for me that I had this friend. I had this person that I admired. And that's really scary when you go into a relationship because there's something to lose. You can lose a really important friend. Yeah. And that was really scary to me. I was like, if this doesn't work out, will we not be able to be friends anymore? Mm-hmm. And that was kind of bothersome. For me, at the end of the show, it wasn't as though we were in like this, I guess like kind of juvenile, like love state. It was, there is enough here to explore. Mm-hmm. Like there's, this is special. Let's get these cameras off us and we can go like explore this in the real life. Mm-hmm. And if that's like the spark of hope, right? It's not the spark where, you know, you're just love drunk and love bombing and throwing everything at it. You know, it's like, that's a form of love that we kind of held on to, and it got progressively better once the cameras were stopped.
Oh my God, so mature.
But isn't the natural way to fall in love on television?
It is.
Okay.
I personally think if you're not doing it, are you really in love?
Yeah.
If fewer than a million people are watching, are you actually doing anything?
No.
Yeah.
Did it happen? Yeah. It's like if a tree fell in the woods, you know, no one saw it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's actually, but seriously, that is a good answer. And I did feel that. I felt that you were like valuing something, but you weren't jumping into it, at least while we were watching. Mm.
Valuing and so evaluating.
Scared. Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's almost like it was an audition.
Yes.
Well, isn't all dating like an 100%. Initial like audition and interview process?
Yeah.
Ruthless. Totally. Ruthless, not PC audition process.
True. Oh, it's so not PC.
No.
If there's one thing we've learned from having a relationship podcast, is a lot of the idea of dating and what attraction is not PC.
If you want to speak honestly about it.
Yeah.
I agree. I completely agree with that.
Okay, Danielle.
You've had enough time to think.
Yeah, you're not off the hook.
Well, we had one little physical spark moment on Paradise that I can't really elaborate on because someone might get in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. But
I know that.
Contracts, babe. Contracts.
Uh-oh.
A little something.
Okay. But it was a moment that you knew.
Wait, it was a moment where...
Yeah.
we realized that the physical attraction was definitely
physical,
there.
Physical chemistry was
present. Okay.
Was there like a sly present handy going on, or what was happening there?
Yeah. And you didn't go to the boom boom room.
Yeah. What
we
was
did
what?
Not go to, we did not go to the boom boom room.
Nope.
Should we try to guess? It's not like they can tell
we
us.
Found,
anyway.
We found a spot.
Did you find like the blind spot on the show? Like the one little place where the cameras just couldn't find an angle? And you curled up like a couple of cockroaches
we'll leave it,
and just
we'll started leave it doing that. It.
We are crafty veterans.
It's like the Truman Show.
There's secrets on that resort.
Totally. It's like the Truman Show.
They
got their footage on loop. Yeah. They were just hanging out in a day bed when really they were off.
Go.
Yeah. Right. I love that movie, by the way.
Great.
Love it. All time. I cried.
It's so good.
I cry every time I watch that.
When I saw that, I said to myself, Jim Carrey is going to be the biggest movie star ever. And he didn't become that.
I mean, he's pretty famous.
Yeah, but he never so really famous. Launched from Truman Show.
I know what you mean. I think you were expecting him to become
like
more
Tom
dramatic.
Hanks level.
What was
it?
Eternal Sunshine.
Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh,
that's
right. That was
a great movie.
Fantastic, too. And that came out right after Truman Show?
Yeah, I think right after Truman Show. Awesome soundtrack. Yeah.
I don't know. I saw him on The Mask and thought he was going to be like the biggest.
That's another fine
I love
film.
How we're all talking about Jim Carrey. Like he didn't make it.
Yeah, like Jim Carrey is now destitute. You know, he can't get a commercial gig in Japan.
Okay. You know, we're having fun when there's a question within a question.
Yeah.
Back to the question, early hurdle.
I'd say it just has to do with figuring how each other work and like how much time each other needs to like process and think through things. Like you can't just sit there and I mean, there's personal hurdles too. And you keep reminding me of this, which I need. Like I am such like a forward thinker. I think about everything all at once. And Michael really helps to keep me more present and not try and like tackle future hurdles before they even arrive. Mm. So that was more of like a personal hurdle. But like learning how just to talk to each other and like thoughtfully talk to each other.
Yeah. I completely agree with that.
Because there have been really tough conversations.
But they're real conversations.
The conversations that you should be having.
Yeah. I think for us it was how can we
handle tough conversation.
I'll say this because I can speak broadly on it. There was a conversation that we had. I won't go into the details, but I had to unfortunately like deliver some news, and it was hard for Danielle to hear. But you can tell a lot about somebody on how they handle bad news. Mm-hmm. And she handled it, you know, created that space where she could be sad and upset about it. But also she was very respectful of where I was in it. And we had these like very incredible conversations that were very intense, and we were able to find a understanding, and it actually brought us significantly closer without any, you know, anything being thrown at each other that we couldn't take back.
No, like no animosity. It was just understanding and ultimately closer intimacy.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that brings us to Andy's.
Well, I'm going to ask a follow-up to that. The move.
Yes, I'll take my shirt off.
Yeah. I was wondering when you were going to ask. But the move from Music City?
Yeah,
you're in Music City in Nashville to
Cleveland.
Cleveland. No hurdle there?
Definitely a hurdle. Because, I mean, it was funny because you had just been down to visit me and the topic kind of came up. About what that would look like when you would potentially be, we talked about like moving very lightly, and I basically just said like I knew going into a relationship with you, you weren't going to up and pull James out of Akron away from his family and right. your support system
right.
to move down to Nashville. And like, I just basically wanted you to know that I was fine leaving Nashville. Yeah. I was ready. Like Nashville had, you know, was my city that I went, like I moved after Nick passed and like rebuilt. And I had kind of reached this point where it felt like it had given me all it was going to give me. Like my person wasn't in Nashville. So I went back on Paradise. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely like a small hurdle. But then some other things kind of happened that escalated the conversation a little bit more. And I was like, hey, listen, I need to know if I'm going to be looking for like a new job or to work at for like a couple months and then leave them and move up. Mm. Like, what are you thinking? Where's your head at?
And I think it got to the point where that decision to live in the same city was scary because it just became incredibly real. Mm-hmm. And, but we just kind of like how we decided on the beach, like there's enough here to mm-hmm. make that leap. And if we don't make that leap, did we ever give this thing a chance? Oh,
so mm-hmm. true. Yeah. We actually talk about that because another part of our podcast is we give relationship advice from the perspective of like a happily married couple. And this comes up is the idea of moving for love. And people are like, mm-hmm. oh, I feel like, oftentimes too, it's like the woman will be like, I feel so like, why am I moving for a man? It's
or like you have to be engaged before yeah. you move right. somewhere.
Yeah. No. That. Reverse.
Yes.
Yeah. And also to know if it's going to work being together in the same city, like long distance has to end at some point. Mm-hmm. And like, someone's going to have to compromise. That's just how long distance works.
And people move for jobs that they're not even excited about.
Yeah.
Correct. And I think so often people look at the next activity, whatever that is, the next event, as that carries risk. You know, her moving up here, that carries risk. What's the risk of not doing anything? You know,
right.
there's substantial risk at. There always. We are surrounded by risk. Risk is embedded in complacency. It's there when we make a leap of faith. It's always around us, this idea that making a decision to move forward with something is risky. It's just false. Staying complacent and stagnant is
the biggest risk.
The you biggest risk.
You miss out on everything.
It's the baseball analogy.
You miss
analogy.
Out on being in the same city as this guy.
That's right.
What's the baseball analogy?
I forgot. But there is one that's appropriate
Nailed
for this.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah. You only swing at the pitches you...
Oh, no. Oh,
you miss 100% of the shots you don't
miss
take?
100, you miss 100% of the shots you don't swing at. You miss 100% of the pitches you don't swing at. Shots.
Yes.
She's screwing me up. She's Canadian.
Yeah. But, right.
You played baseball. Where were you?
Yeah, no. I saw that on a Brookstone poster, I think.
Yeah. No, whoa. I just made that up.
Oh,
that's mine. Yours. That's okay. mine. Yeah, I trademarked that. Yeah. Anyway, leading into...
We're on a time crunch, so stop going rogue and ask your question.
Sorry, I was about to. Yeah. Right. So I want to know, since you guys actually, for our Love Fest in general, on average, this is a newer relationship.
Yes.
I think. Mm-hmm. So kudos to you guys. It shows some confidence in your relationship. But I think you probably remember what your first big fight was. Since you guys haven't been together that long, I want to know about that fight. And I want to know about how you guys fight in general and how you resolve conflict.
I hate the term fight because to me that implies that you're just screaming at each other. Mm.
And it implies there's a winner and a loser.
Yeah.
Which a lot of times you're just trying to seek understanding.
So far, this is very on brand.
I think this is our first fight with me and Michael.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I mean, I know the first one. It was Wells's wedding.
Oh yeah. So
there in this particular altercation, there was a winner and a loser, and I was the loser. 100%.
It says so much that you brought it up, even though you were the loser.
Yeah, because I've completely like forgotten about that at this point. But yeah, we obviously, Wells and I have been friends for forever, and he invited me to the wedding, and then he obviously did all this like matchmaking stuff in Paradise, knew we were together, and asked me if I wanted a plus one, and I was like, dude, like, you know who I'm going to bring if you give me a plus one. Is it safe to bring a plus one? And
this is like, when we weren't allowed to be in public.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to be in public together. He's like, no, don't worry. Like, the only people, there's going to be no press there. Vogue is the only ones getting the pictures. And, I mean, we totally messed that up anyways. But because we stood, like, right next to each other in the photo, we were not thinking.
No.
But we get home from the wedding, and Michael posts that he was there.
Oh, amateur.
At my friend's wedding that I could no longer.
This one's on me. Like I said, I'm still learning, you know, the rules of social media. I felt so bad about it.
I was like, dude.
But at the same time, you also friend. Like, who can keep that under wraps? Like, you went to.
Yeah. It's human.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's just.
Wait, no, so you were upset.
He was a guest at my best friend's wedding. That's one right. of my best friends.
I wouldn't
wedding.
Have been invited if it wasn't for Danielle's friendship with okay. everybody there.
And I could not do a congratulatory post for Wells and Sarah.
I took because that
you
from
took
her.
It.
Oh, took the thunder. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how did that
so
go down?
To this day. Shame.
Shame this
man. To this day.
Shame onto your house.
I have not posted that I was at Wells's wedding. So I don't know if people actually know that I was at Wells's wedding.
But they know Michael was there. That's important.
I was there. I had a great time. Yeah. I had a blast. That was the hit of the ball.
No. I saw you post it and I was like,
motherfucker.
I was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, this guy just wants to be famous. Like this, this is when I had so many, like, I was just worried that like, I wasn't likable just for me. It was for like who I could be friends with who, I mean, like I have so much to offer.
No, but that is a real concern. Like when there are so many degrees of fame. You know, I use fame with air quotes, but like of notoriety, and we live in a world where people really care about that.
Yeah.
One thing happens to every couple once you go through this franchise is you wonder what was real.
Yeah.
You wonder what's performative, what's real. I mean, I remember when we got off the beach, we get to the hotel room and we're like looking at each other like, were you faking it? Like, was this all real?
Well, and it's I like never this. Ask if you were it's faking like it. This. I asked like if you were my boyfriend.
Yeah, we're like, is all this happening? Because I mean, there's a lot of pressure to be on it. No shame on anybody for doing whatever you know they need to do. But
sure,
there's like this decompression that has to happen where you're just like, is this real? Like, are we really going forward? Did you mean what you said?
He did.
Okay. We're on such a time crunch because we still need to get to the game.
We're completely fine. Too,
okay.
Right?
All right.
You had your meeting pushed back.
Yeah, I got my meetings pushed back.
Oh, that's so lovely. Thank you.
I moved them till 4 o'clock. So
I'm good. I want to hug you. Thank you. That's so nice.
Wait till he gets his shirt off.
Actually, I took my pants off a while ago.
You guys did.
Oh, dude.
I'm already playing.
I'm way before you.
Yeah. We're totally pantsless over here.
Okay.
Prove it.
Well,
stand up.
Okay. I'm hovering on the, I know fight's not the right word, but okay. We're just going to ask like who does what.
Yeah.
So does anyone ever raise their voice?
No.
No.
Who apologizes first, or is it dependent? Like
Michael apologizes first.
I picture that happening too.
I feel like we can both be really self-deprecating. So we kind of both do.
Yeah, I mean, they're really, I mean.
Wait, no, like I hear you. Yeah, you're totally right. No, that's totally valid. Like I know what I'm doing in this situation.
It typically doesn't escalate to the, I mean, we're stubborn too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very.
But I feel like it hasn't gotten to that place yet. And I'd be happy to discuss
bad?
It.
Is that
happy
bad that we haven't
it.
Yelled at each other?
Yeah, you guys suck at fighting.
Yeah, yeah, we're not.
You,
we're not.
You need to get the fighting tunnel. Game up. Yeah, yeah. You gotta start fighting. When you start fighting, give us an update. I want to hear what happens.
Yeah, first, sorry. First it's totally boring on that. And like, I don't want to make it like a cop out, right?
Like, I really can't
think of a moment where we were, you know, escalate.
I think we just tried to thoughtfully discuss, which I know, I mean, like, we've definitely talked to him in like crying, but
yeah,
not like we don't yell at each other.
When did you move in?
The sixth.
Oh, no, she's not moved in with him.
When did you move to Cleveland?
The sixth. Yeah.
Okay.
By the way,
a couple weeks in.
I've got to say, I have such mad respect for the fact that you didn't just move in.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's so badass.
We were not ready for that.
Yeah, but you know, so many people are like, I'm moving. It's like, mm-hmm. I'm going to move in. You know, I just think a lot of people skip that step.
Thank you.
And I just think it's so important.
I think for some people too, they took that as a lack of commitment to each other.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I think it's just the opposite.
It really is the opposite.
Because we haven't dated in the same city. We haven't had like unlimited access to each other.
Right.
And there's just so much more to think about. Like, I wasn't going to move up here and be like, hey, James, I'm your new roommate. Like, mm-hmm.
Right.
It's not ready
and
for
it's
that.
Also, and you agree with this more than anybody, it's important to have your independence,
yes.
Your friend group, your identity,
my space,
all of those things.
You know, while we're figuring out like, everything.
And it's great for James, too, because, you know, I'm in kind of the suburb and she has this awesome place downtown. So we got these little staycations that you can have for a kid and it's 25 minutes away and he thinks it's a whole vacation when he's up there. So it's cool to kind of give him a little bit of, you know, the best of both worlds.
So Andy, I think my love of ZocDoc is well documented.
Well ZocDocumented?
It is well ZocDocumented. I mean, our Shandys know by now that I've booked countless doctor's appointments through ZocDoc, including many physicals. I have found doctors that I would not have otherwise found. I was able to filter down to doctors in our neighborhood or doctors close by, so it's convenient. Doctors who accept my insurance, my relatively obscure health insurance, and who were available, honestly, sometimes within 24 hours. It's really incredible. And then I was able to book through ZocDoc, meaning I didn't have to then call the doctor's office. But to top all of that off, I am obsessed with ZocDoc's dashboard.
This is
a random thing to talk about.
It's not random.
I love it. They keep track. They're like, your last physical was then. You're due for a physical now. The last time you had an eye exam was then. You know, you're due for this. Like, they tell you. Basically, they act kind of like your parents, like when you're little, but in the best way. Because, you know, when you're little, my mom would be like, oh, it's time for your eye exam. Yeah, you haven't been in a while. And then you start adulting and you're like, I have to keep track of this
stuff.
You
shouldn't have to. It's a waste of brain.
It is a waste of brain. And that's why I love how ZocDoc holds your hand. I go to that dashboard and I'm like, oh yeah, I didn't realize that it has been 16 months since my last eye exam.
And you're not playing doctor roulette.
Yes, which is very important. You're not leaving it up to chance. You see hundreds of patient reviews from people just like you, and you get a very good sense of their bedside manner, how professional they are, how qualified they are, based on all these reviews. I'm sorry, but crowdsourcing is almost always right.
And of all the people who should be held to account, it's doctors.
Yes. So ZocDoc is the free app that shows you doctors who are patient reviewed, accept your insurance, and are available when you need them and treat almost every condition under the sun.
Go to ZocDoc.com/Shandy and download the ZocDoc app for free.
Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours, and I can attest from personal experience that this is true.
That's ZocDoc.com/Shandy. ZocDoc.com/Shandy.
Before we get to the game, I just have a question for you as a parent, Michael. The idea that we talked briefly earlier about the inability to be almost proud of yourself or to celebrate yourself.
Yeah.
Do you find that being a parent override? Like you're, I imagine that with James, it's just unfettered pride. That's what I'm imagining.
Yes. It's unbelievable. I mean, being a parent is incredibly difficult. But I guess all things that you really love are difficult. Mm-hmm. If something comes very easy, you never really take time and appreciate it whatsoever. It just comes and goes. But watching him go through life and seeing like the world through a kid's eyes again, it invigorates you in a weird kind of way. And it's, I mean, long nights. We have been through everything together, and seeing him where he's at in his life. Like, we were just at a Cub Scout meeting last, like, Saturday.
I knew this was gonna come up.
Yeah, last Saturday. And he walks in there. There's all these older kids there. They immediately run up to him. They're doing like a Pinewood Derby thing. And, you know, they race these little cars. And this kid's like, "You can use my car to race." And James is like, "All right, cool, thanks." And his car ended up winning. And he got like this little medal. And
so proud.
Kid didn't even build the car. He raced somebody else's. But he gets to the car and he literally, he's like, "You know, I haven't felt this proud for myself like in a long time." And you're just like, "Oh my God."
Is it something that, like, are you deflecting? Is he picking up that you're not speaking like proudly about yourself?
Yeah, like a parent's guilt is literally everywhere. It's nonstop, but it's, you know, it's one of those things I'm always trying to work on. But I mean, in terms of being the source of my pride, it's all in that kid.
Mm. Oh my God, that just gave me chills. I haven't felt this proud in a long time.
Yeah.
It's like, he heard that somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, he's a very, this, okay, I'm going to say this. There were a bunch of like memes going on from Bachelor in Paradise about like the things James says and people questioning whether or not he says them. He says them.
He is the
like, he's like, yeah, go ahead.
He's so witty. He's so witty. It is like, and I don't even know that he totally gets yet how funny he is, but he's funny.
Yeah, like adult funny, not like this kid's, you know,
come
around here. He's really good, but he's had a lot of life experience. I mean, we have very deep conversations. Like, he's 6 years old, but I mean, he gives me advice.
Mm. Wow. Oh, that's sweet. Okay, well, that's the perfect place to segue into the game then. It is now time for the Dear Shandy Newlyweds game. Yay!
Yay!
I have...
Good job.
I play along. I was way too excited for that. Sorry.
He wanted to be part.
Okay, so I'm not really sure how this one's going to go because there were a lot of sort of like... Like, Danielle seemed very unsure.
Yeah.
I'm a perfectionist. Oh. I just need to get everything correct.
Okay.
I don't like to admit that I can't.
Grade A student over here.
I think Danielle's, I sense a lot of honesty and realness from her, which makes me feel like she's going to do really badly.
Probably will.
Yeah.
Yeah. With each question, she looked kind of like, oh, like she was really, I think, caring too much almost. And Michael was just like totally easygoing.
Yeah, but also not super confident.
No, neither so of them seemed
Michael's
super confident.
A little tougher to call. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go...
Andy predicts.
I'm going to go 2-1 Michael victory.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
We have to break up if you're wrong.
Oh, that's true, actually.
2-1 Yeah. That is... Wow. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. I'm not. Don't take it personally. It's because how new your relationship is.
Yeah, and they
is.
Don't live together.
Okay. And you don't live together.
That's a ruthless.
It's a serious handicap.
Yeah, yes. It is, actually. It is. Okay, so question number one. Danielle will be asking you, which means, Michael, this is your point to win or lose. Danielle, you walk into a bar. What is your drink order of choice? And show the camera. Whiskey, she wrote.
Wow,
okay.
Old school. Do you just like say like bang your fists on the table like whiskey and it just slides
it
down?
On the rocks. The boys of the still mill. I got whiskey too.
Nice.
Oh, he got it. Very
whiskey
nice.
On the rocks too.
Very nice.
A little more specific.
Okay, good. Michael. Well done. Okay. So Michael, you walk into a bar. What do you order?
I had two answers here.
Uh-oh. No.
Is that cheating?
Nope. Oh, yeah.
Full cheating. Well, we'll see. No, it's cheating. We'll see when we get there.
Cheating.
She'll get one of them.
If he wrote two, I know what the other one is. I know what the other one is.
Oh, hold on. That's cute. Hold on. She's going to go write it right now.
Okay, we'll make an exception. How about this? You got to get both. If you want to do two, you got to get both.
Oh, he could really
You'll probably
screw
get
her.
This.
Okay, Michael, let's see. The two. Scotch and red wine.
Okay.
Okay. Uh-oh. She doesn't look happy. Uh-oh. Let's see.
I should have gone with scotch. I did red wine and mezcal.
Oh, I love mezcal.
Point
for me.
No, you don't get a point.
I don't get a point?
It's your answer.
Oh. So did she get a point? How does this work?
Well, we're kind of confused. You kind of screwed her.
Yeah.
I think she deserves a point. She put red wine. And then she added mezcal only when she heard that he had put two. He's the one that put two, which really puts her
okay,
at a disadvantage.
Okay, let's give it to her. I agree. Okay. We're going to give it to you.
1-1.
I agree. Okay.
You're just trying to get your prediction to be right.
Yeah, it's totally true.
Okay. Like it. Question number two, Danielle. So, Michael, this is your point. What is your biggest peeve? And the two of you agreed it would be about each other. So let's see. Your biggest peeve about Michael.
This is going to need some context.
Meat towel.
No context at all. I'm totally good. Totally makes sense.
It says meat towel on it.
So when Michael... when Michael cooks... You know how like normal people will go and like if they touch like meat or, you know, eggs, something like that, they go and they do like the little, quick little rinse their fingers and like paper towel, like dry or like wash their hands.
Yeah.
He touches the meat and it touches the meat towel. So like no one else can use the towels. Everyone is stuck having to use the paper towel.
I have like a towel I usually put like hanging out of my pocket and I'm just like wiping.
No, it's on the dishwasher right now.
There's no meat on that towel.
So it's just like an E. coli towel, basically.
Basically, okay. That's what I'm being accused of here is the meat towel.
That's a very respectable piece.
So I'm answering what she...
Yeah, did you not do that the first time?
No, I got it. Sorry, I'm like really confused on this. No, I don't know. I'm going to catch up.
The game is fun. Yeah, okay, so what did you think Danielle would put about you?
Meat towel.
Oh, wow. My God, he got it. He got it. He even said meat towel. He didn't say E. coli towel.
No, the towel I wipe meat on. It's the meat. I have a feeling this has been discussed.
Wow. Very nice.
It's an area of improvement. my performance plan.
Okay.
So let's stop the game right here. 2-1. Congratulations.
Okay. Michael, what is your biggest peeve about Danielle? She looks like she knows what this is going to be. She's nodding.
Being late.
I'm always late. Wow.
You guys. I'm not. This is BS. You were.
I know. I own my flaws, babe.
Me too. Yeah,
you guys were making upset. Believe you were going to do badly. I don't like this. We were set up.
You stop making this about you. They love each other so much.
It's really about them.
Okay. So Danielle, you can only listen to one musician, band, or composer for the rest of your life. Who is it? I'm very curious because you really struggled with this one.
I really struggled, and I'm not going to lie. I put down two.
Okay.
Ooh. And I put down like three for Michael.
Okay. You know,
we're case by case. We're going to see. Let's see what you put for yourself.
The Strokes and Brandi Carlile.
The Strokes is excellent.
Nothing against Brandi Carlile.
I also like Brandi Carlile.
Okay. All right. So, Michael.
So, I thought she was going to say Head and Heart.
Which my friends are going to be mad that like I didn't say them. But
okay. So, this is a fail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Things just got more interesting, honestly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Clean fail.
And I mean, she did struggle. She was struggling to answer for herself.
Yeah, this was the most struggly question. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have to admit,
the
I would
was
also.
Up there, too.
So is that a band? I don't know them.
Yeah, I don't know them either.
Yes. Yeah, it's a band.
Okay, I'll check
We don't know much about anything after 2000. I was like checked out completely.
I'm always just listening to classics.
The Strokes actually were the last, literally the last band. I was like, that's a
Are
new
you
band
adding another
I'm
one?
Into.
No. The Strokes are one of the best bands of our generation.
Tremendous.
if you remember, like, everything was going very pop at that time, and we didn't have like that Lower East Side, like, grunge, like garage rock sound. And they just came in and blew it all away. I'm a huge Strokes guy.
Yeah. They were great. They were like, they really brought it back. And then it went away again.
Is that foreshadowing for your answer, Michael? You can listen to one musician, band, or composer for the rest of your life. Who is it?
Well, I wrote two.
I have three for you.
The Strokes and Wolf Parade.
Ooh. Oh, you put... Oh! I wrote Wolf Parade, White Buffalo, and Walkman.
Great. Awesome bands.
I'm torn.
This is not a conversation.
I don't know if, because she had to guess three.
Can't give it to her.
Oh, but she got Wolf
Parade. But she already got a slightly questionable point. Can't give it to her.
Yeah, you can't reward it twice. This point
Wolf Parade I had first. Then I wrote White Buffalo, and then I added Walkman.
She did write Wolf Parade first, but it looks like he wrote Wolf Parade as an afterthought on his.
I think there's general disrespect for the game here. I'm not
It really is. Yeah. It really is. Yeah.
And to show you who's boss here, we're not giving you that point, Danielle. Yeah. So it's still 2-2.
This is our show.
Okay.
Nice try.
Okay.
Start good to effort, respect though. Your authority. Yeah.
Yeah. I call it a little
game. Yeah, I think it's a win.
Okay, question number four, Danielle. And you agreed that this would be physical attributes, not personality traits.
Yeah.
Danielle, if you could have Michael's blank, what would it be?
Sounds so creepy. Skin and eyes.
Oh,
he does
nice.
Have good skin and eyes.
Yeah, he's got great skin.
Okay, let's
see.
He's
due for his talks. Like, don't look at it. But he's got great skin.
Do you do it?
Yeah. I told him I'm the only one allowed to put needles in his face.
I've gotten it once. What was it? How long ago was that?
It was end of September.
Yeah. And now it's like, I feel like I'm addicted to it.
Yeah. That's slippery slope.
It really is. It really is.
But how? So, I mean, that's a superpower. You have her doing that for you. My God.
Now that she's up here, my mom and all of her friends are like, "When's Danielle gonna come up?" They're all clucking to get up there and like get right to Danielle.
People coming out of the woodwork.
I know.
Like some cousin you never knew you had. You're like, "Hey, it's been so long. I should see this beautiful woman you're with."
Yeah. I thought she was gonna say my hair.
Oh,
he's also got good hair.
Yeah,
I have great hair.
You have great hair. Yes.
It's like a backhanded.
It's a good comeback. Actually,
I thought you were gonna say my eyes.
Oh, wait! He's skipping ahead, Michael. What about you? Yeah. Okay.
No respect at all.
No respect for the game. We didn't even go there yet.
Oh. Whoops.
Okay.
I actually said your thighs.
You didn't.
I'm just kidding.
The swollen thighs or just regular thighs? Though. Okay,
no,
swollen.
They were, in they the hot mix can eat. They were ankles and calf. Well, basically knee down. It was very swollen.
Yeah. Okay. We spent about a half hour on this.
I think we put this to rest.
Michael, if you could have Danielle's blank, what would it be?
I didn't know what to put, but I put her style.
You screwed her so hard.
Her,
how is she supposed to work with
that? That's not a physical attribute.
She can't get that.
Isn't that physical?
No.
It's appearance.
I mean, I kind of in the middle on this one. It's kind of neither.
Yeah. I mean, it's a compliment.
Physical. It's more personality because your body doesn't make your fashion. Your mind makes your fashion.
But it's the way she wears it.
So you're saying she's a good mannequin.
The whole thing. It's wonderful. Am I digging myself out of a hole now?
You're digging sideways.
Yeah. So Danielle, let's see what you thought he would say. Yeah.
He loves my eyes.
I do. They're wonderful.
My eyes and
you keep
talking about abs this year, and so because I have them,
because you have them and I don't. You're gonna dad bod shame me? I would take your abs.
Do
you have amazing
look
abs.
At you and I'm like, God, you're so fucking hot.
Oh, thank you, baby.
You know what I find funny about that question is if you get it wrong, it makes you sound like conceited about the thing that you
That's so true.
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah.
This is a tough question.
Yeah.
I feel like this question is for people who've been together for like at least 10 years.
I actually think you two made a really crucial error by going physical attribute instead of
personality
trait.
Yeah, it's always a bad call.
Yeah.
I think we should just not give it an option. I think we should just be what's the personality.
Well, because I think
trait.
Depending on the couple. Yeah.
How would you guys feel if someone broke up, like a couple broke up during your love fest over this question?
We'd feel like we accomplished something.
Yeah, that's the goal. Right. Okay, final question. Question number five, Danielle. Okay. How do you take each of the following? Your coffee or tea, your eggs, and your potatoes?
Matcha with coconut milk. Eggs, I mean, like, probably over hard or scrambled. And truffle fries.
Great penmanship, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
So I went with matcha.
Okay.
Went tea, circled tea, matcha, eggs, scrambled potatoes, fries.
Wow,
very nice.
He nailed that. That was very incredible. Nice. Wow. I love how he circled tea first.
Yeah.
It's like, will you go to prom with me? Why or no?
Okay, wow. Okay, so Michael's, you know, Danielle, this is your game to
this is it.
Lose.
Yes.
Yeah, nice. It is.
All right. Michael, you go first. How do you take each of the following? Coffee or tea, eggs or potatoes?
Coffee, black, eggs, poached, potatoes, mashed.
Poached, yeah.
I support those. You know what he appreciates is a soft, runny food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't like eggs. Leave eggs.
Poached are the only way I like it because you can actually like blend it into everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not, if scrambled, it becomes like a standalone. But
yeah, scrambled is, I mean, I like scrambled. Scrambled is pretty basic.
No eggs, but scrambled if anything. And I put truffle fries for you too because you like the truffle.
I do like truffle fries.
Coffee black. Eggs, scrambled, if anything, and truffle fries. Ooh, she only got one out of three.
Yeah, that's a loss.
Okay, so...
Yeah, I lost.
Okay, so 3-2 for Michael. Andy, your prediction was right in terms of who would win. You didn't give them enough credit.
No, I got the spread.
You did.
Yeah.
Michael, you are the winner of the Dear Shandy Newlyweds game. But Danielle, you end up winning too because it means that he just loves you so much. He knows you so well.
He does.
I listen, babe.
He does.
You guys,
I thought I would listen more, but apparently I don't.
No, I appreciate what a perfectionist you were. I think that I would perfectionize myself out of winning this game too.
You would perfectionize yourself out of winning.
I would become so obsessed with getting it right exactly that I would just kind of go off course at some point. You guys, thank you so much for joining us today. What a delightful love fest this was. Michael, do you feel like you know what a love fest is?
They love each other more than they did when they started.
I know what a love fest is now. And can I put my pants back on?
No.
No, keep them off.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for having me. Like we've been fans of you guys for a long time and hopefully one day we get to meet in person.
Yes. If you're ever in the city, definitely please give us a heads up.
We will.
Okay. Done. Thank you so much.
We will set you free. Thank you. Bye.
All right. See you guys.
Bye, guys.
Woo. That was okay. Wow. That was long.
Oh my God, my ears. So
and nice. It didn't feel long.
No. That was, I could have gone on for, that could have been like an all day thing.
That was actually dangerous. It was dangerous how fun they were because suddenly we were like 50 minutes in and I'm like, oh, wait, we haven't asked how they fight yet. We need to ask how they fight.
It's like a full love fest in.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. I mean, they're just really easy, easy people.
I got to say, I'm like, this was some crazy prediction. I knew that we were going to really get, we were going to vibe with them really well.
Yeah. I mean, just the age alone, I don't want to focus on the age, but they are, you know, a little bit more aged than our average love fest. A little bit. Not that that's always everything. That's not even always anything.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying that that combined with the fact that I think they are really solid, solid humans.
Mm-hmm. They're such an interesting example of, to me, they're the poster child example of a couple that uses the show just as like a means to finally meet each other and maybe give this a romantic chance.
Right.
And then that's it. That's all they used it for. Because you can tell they're so like compatible. They're laughing all the time. There's such a vibrancy to them together that I'm going to be honest, I didn't feel like I saw on TV.
I agree. Well, what I saw on TV, I questioned. We did. I was not sure what I was seeing.
It was towards the end where we were like, it was when on the show he was like, I think Laura would really love you or would approve of you. You know, that kind of thing that I was like, oh, he wouldn't say that.
Well, right. Lightly. It's like going in like one of those timeshare things where guys rope you into like trying to sell timeshares to you. You know, like who goes into those? No, I know it's going somewhere. Trust me. You who goes into those things like right away? They're like, so welcome. You're like, I want a timeshare.
It's
right.
I mean, no,
yeah,
I
you
don't
play hard to get till the very end. They're like, here's $200 to spend in the local restaurants.
Broadway
like,
tickets.
Yeah. Anything you want. I'll like sleep with you. You know, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to think about this.
Yeah. Because you can get more stuff out of it.
Yeah. Or you just don't want to do it.
Wait, how is this related to them as a couple?
It's very loose. Very loose.
Okay.
Yeah. What I'm saying is it's certain things you do in life where you don't want to just dive in right away. Mm. You want to just test the waters.
Well, it does show their maturity and also how seriously they take it.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
If they met in real life, like they just hanging out at a bar and they just started chatting and they're like, wow, I really like you. That's different. Then you could dive right in.
Yeah.
On TV, they both played it smart.
Yeah. You know, I'm actually upset we had as much fun as we did because I had more things I wanted to talk to them about.
Yeah, there's a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, like knowing that they know about us. Like, we don't always know when we interview these people whether or not they watched our recaps of their seasons.
Sure.
And there's something kind of meta there because I kind of want to be like, so what did we get wrong?
I know. <it's,
laughs> and not to make it about us.
It's so self-indulgent. It's like, let's talk about what we thought about you.
Yeah, but it's not, but I actually think it, so it is self-indulgent, but it's also like, I want to be corrected. Like, I want to know what
you got this wrong.
Yeah. And I say that partly because I feel like, I mean, we're going way back now, but to my experience, you know, when I felt misunderstood by someone who I felt on the most part did get me, I wanted to be like, you just got that thing wrong.
Totally. I get it. It's like sitting down with the director of a film that you really like and asking them like, what this scene, was he thinking this? And then you find out you're like, no, he wasn't. Good story, Andy. Really knocking them down today.
Oh, they were delightful.
Yeah.
They're that couple that if you go on a double date with them, you know, it'll be relaxed because they're not taking little like snipes at each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You don't have to worry about them. First of all, you don't have to worry about awkward silences and you don't have to worry about them with each other.
That's a big thing in double dates.
Yeah, sometimes you're babysitting.
Yeah, sometimes it's awkward because you're like, oh, they're kind of like...
There's tension.
There's tension. They're sort of like making passive aggressive remarks. Like they're trying to be funny at their partner's expense. Right. That always gets me.
Then you're constantly changing the subject.
Find.
Like,
you're
like,
oh,
okay, anyway.
Yeah, no, they're just so in tune with each other. It was just lovely.
Maybe we should have been naked.
Taking love fests to the next level.
We should try that one day. Mm. I mean, it's easy for me to say.
Why?
Well, I mean, you know. Why I mean, guys can go dive. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
Which I always find interesting. I mean, I understand there's a sort of a, you know, biological difference.
Yeah.
But I always find it interesting that guys topless, no big deal ever.
Yeah.
No, you could be G-rated anything. Guy topless, woman topless, big deal.
Yeah. No, it's so true.
Shouldn't be.
Yeah, I'm okay.
I'm going to lobby for that.
That's
dedicate my life to changing the way things are.
Is that
are.
The battle you want to pick at the end of
that's,
this?
Yeah, that's probably not the right one. That's my Waterloo. It's a Napoleon reference.
Waterloo.
Is that a song?
Do, 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 do.
That's a song?
Yeah.
Is that from, do, do, wait, let me guess.
Do, do,
that sounds
do,
like do, do, do. ABBA.
Do, do, do. Yeah, very good.
Thank you. I'm also really happy Michael found someone great. Like, I think everyone had a collective, like, oh, for Michael.
Yeah.
And it's really nice to see where he's landed.
Yeah. I forget which question it was an answer to, but he talked about how even in the face of a lot of criticism, he already had the prize. Like, it was okay. He could withstand anything because he got what he, what he wanted. You know what I mean? It's different than if you go on The Bachelor and you leave and it's sort of like you're on your own. Like, he really got what he went there for.
Right. And all you have is your fans either criticizing you or applauding you.
But he was able to withstand it with her. That was cute.
Yeah, it was cute. Quasi-cheating in the newlywed game. Yeah. We're going to have to speak to management about that.
A lack of respect.
Yeah, no respect for the game.
Okay, I have nothing else to add. They were lovely.
Yeah, I'd like to have an IRL date with them.
Me too. I feel a strong desire for a double date. And on that double date, I would ask, what did we get wrong?
Yes.
Let's talk about me. Well, if you enjoyed what you heard today, you know what we will ask of you, and that is to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, follow us on Instagram and
TikTok.
Leave us Apple and
Spotify
podcast ratings and reviews. Tell your friends.
Yeah, tell your friends.
Yeah, the most important one of all.
Yeah.
How important are friends? They say so much about you.
They do.
Yeah. And you should tell them when you like a podcast.
That's the first thing you should do with friends.
Yeah. You are being a good friend by telling them about Dear Shandy.
That's what I want. I want all my friends, when I first see them, to talk to me about all the podcasts they like.
And generally do all the things you would do to support a podcast you enjoy. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on Dear Shandy. Bye-bye.